This is the PropTech VC Podcast. We give you unique insights into how innovative technologies are disrupting real estate. We interview top entrepreneurs, investors, and knowledgeable experts to share the inside scoop in this fast-moving industry. It's hosted by leading PropTech VC, Zane Jaffer. Let's dive into today's content.
So speaking of Champion, you just mentioned Champion there. I think that's really interesting. So, you know, as founders are thinking about going and, you know, approaching VCs, how should they be thinking about, you know, having a champion? Who are these people? How do they engage with them? And how do they get feedback, you know, on what's happening? I think that's one of the things I also hear founders is, you know, they'll have a meeting they think went well with a VC, but then, you know, they don't hear much back, or, you know, it's very silent and they're just sort of left wondering what's going on. And, you know, then a week later they get a no and they don't know what actually happened. So there's no way for them to learn. So what do you think about, you know, sort of that dynamic, and also, you know, how the champions might play a role in that?
Wow, that is an amazing question. And I now have a very different perspective sitting on both sides. Being an entrepreneur, being an investor, I'd get very annoyed when they said no to me. And I was very aggressive, and that put the investors off, okay? I've had this happen. I say no, and I sense some serious defensiveness, some serious, like, you know, trying to sell me, right? No, this is a really good idea. They're not listening to my feedback. It's okay, right? I was the same. But then I'm not likely to give you feedback then, if you're going to try to convince me. If we can have a discussion, okay, and it's clear I'm out, right? If we can have an honest discussion, and I can tell you why I'm out, and you're not going to try to pressure me to invest, okay? Great. So as an entrepreneur, make it safe. Make it clear. I appreciate you're out. I'm not asking for investment anymore, okay? But can you explain to me why? Can we hop on the call? I'd just like to understand why, so we get better at what we do, and I can benefit from that. And entrepreneurs will just say, okay, thanks, you're out, I get it. And maybe they don't care about why the investor's out. But it might help, right? If you're actually, shame on you when you're running a company and you're losing out on clients. Well, a good sales process often involves getting feedback from customers and logging it. Why did we lose customer X to this competitor, right? Know that, maybe patterns emerge. So when I was running Vongor at the early stages, I struggled to raise funding. And I met a great investor, Rich Wong, who was the partner at Accel. He's been behind AdMob, he's been behind Mopub, he's had a string of great successes. And he was the one who told me why. I asked him why, and in that meeting he said, you know why? I can't find a moat. I can't find a moat around your business. And it hit me. And I tried to explain to him, well, Rich, what do you think about this? You know, we're building a network. And he's like, yeah, sure, that's not really a moat. And I realized, till the very end of Vongor, Rich Wong's advice stayed with me, because I could never truly answer that question, how do we have a moat, until, you know, later on. And I always remembered that conversation, and I appreciated that. And so when I went out and we raised subsequent rounds of funding, that was one thing I was very well prepared for. And by the way, Rich Wong was literally one of the last meetings we had. We had pretty much done our round, but I really wanted him on board. Didn't work out, but that feedback he gave me meant that our Series A and our Series B with others went really, really well. Great investors give you feedback, and when they give you feedback, your mind is blown.
So sometimes there's that one sort of, you know, sort of big challenge or risk that the company might have, but the investors, maybe they don't mention it. But when you do find out about it, you know, you're able to sort of get ahead of it in those future conversations, or you know, you're well prepared for any sort of questions that would come up on that.
Yeah, you know, another personal anecdote, right? I wanted Sequoia Capital too. Sequoia Capital had invested in a competitor. And like my hero, one of my inspirations, a guy called Omar Hamowi, he founded AdMob, right? So of course he was a guy I looked up to. He became a partner at Sequoia. And Omar saw the world very differently to anyone I've ever kind of met in my industry. Omar's view was that you should own the content too. This is a crazy idea. Don't just be a platform, own the content. In real estate, the example here is, don't just be the platform, own the real estate.
Right.
Wow, if you own the real estate and you own the platform, you're a Blackstone, right?
Yeah.
So Omar realized at that time, you're an ad network, you're trying to sign up developers, why don't you go out and start buying developers out? And as time passed, I realized, yeah, he's right. It was very forward thinking. No VC I met understood that. I pitched it to my own board, I pitched it to future investors, and I said, part of my big plan is I want to go and buy developers, right? They were like, are you freaking crazy?
Right.
Like, no, you're too distracted, you're crazy. They told me that, right? Well, you're the same guy that said I was crazy when I told you, you know, I'm running this idea and I'm going to grow it and I'll never get $1 million in revenue. Now we're at multi-$100 million in revenue, people are calling me crazy and it's like, give me a break, come on.
Yeah.
Right? You saw co-living happen. Yeah. I saw the app industry emerging, so I had kind of more progressive ideas. But let me tell you specifically what I mean here, right? Why was it in the end that our most likely acquirers were other gaming companies, other content companies,
Sure. Right?
Tencent in China is excellent because Tencent used to buy games and they had their platform. So do it the other way. So one of our competitors ended up buying gaming companies and they were backed by private equity players and they've raised hundreds of millions of dollars and they've gone out on an acquisition spree buying games and also developing their own games and having their own ad platform. In real estate, if you pull that off, wow. Like that's something I'm interested in the future. You need a lot of capital, even on my side. That's the level of capital that I do not yet have access to, but I'm working my way towards.
Yeah.
If there's a great company that emerges, you realize, you know what? Screw being a VC in this. Let's literally buy the company and buy the real estate alongside it and turbocharge it.
Yeah.
Then you become like an Amazon.
Thank you for listening. As always, this show is available on iTunes, Spotify, and Google Play. But did you know that full, uncut episodes and bonus content are posted on our YouTube channel? If you want to learn practical business skills, discover trends and opportunities, and learn how to invest in real estate, head on over there now. Go to youtube.com and search for Zane Jaffer, and it'll pop up. Subscribe now. See you on the next episode.